This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 in the morning. It's Friday, the 17th of December. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Philip. We're crossing over to the causeway, across the causeway to Singapore, where property prices have been rising despite the COVID-19 pandemic. And this has prompted the authorities to introduce cooling measures in a bid to bring the prices down.
The moves include higher stamp duties for second-time buyers and foreign investors, tighter total debt servicing ratio for borrowers, and housing board loans will be lowered from 90% to 85% of the property's purchase price. Now, as you were saying, Shaz, private housing prices have risen about 9% since the first quarter of last year, while HDB resale flat prices are also recovering sharply after a six-year decline, rising 15% in the same time period.
So will these cooling measures be enough to help contain property price increases? But at the same time, will it also come at the cost of deterring foreign real estate investment into Singapore? So to help us understand the latest measures and what their aims are, we have on the line Alan Cheong, Executive Director of Research and Consultancy at Seville Singapore. Alan, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. So we're under the impression that the measures introduced this week came as a bit of a surprise. What are your reactions? Which measures in this cooling package were perhaps unexpected?
Good morning. I think to clarify, I think the first thing is these are not really new measures. They are a recalibration of existing measures. They have upped the intensity of the existing measures, like the additional buyer stamp duty. They raised the levies by another 5 percentage points. So in terms of whether it's surprise or I'm surprised or not, well, I knew that they would probably be tweaking the recalibrating the measures, but I expected it to come next year and not this year. So in that regard, yes, it's a little bit of a surprise, not a total surprise.
Was the quantum surprising?
Yes, the quantum was surprising because the quantum that they raised is in steps of 5%. And they have been doing that in 2018 too. They raised it by another 5% in 2018 and now by another 5%. But at this rate, it is going... it seems like even if you raise it by another 5%, I think you'll end up with practically no one's going to use that route to buy private residential property, but trying to circumvent these levies instead.
So when you say circumvent, do you think these measures are effective then?
Well, it's almost like a vaccine shot, right? You find that the first two shots doesn't work, and then you go for a third booster shot, and then if it doesn't work, you go for a fourth booster. So I think we need to rethink about it. So at this point in time, the majority of the demand is coming from first timers, and the first timers are mainly Singapore citizens and permanent residents.
Okay.
So they are not affected so much by all these measures.
Okay, so the extent of whether this will actually have the the cooling impact that it wants to have is still an open question. Alan, I want to ask, why has Singapore property remained so buoyant even during the pandemic? What do you think is driving these property prices? Is it really just down to demand?
It's this, that there's an underestimation of the amount of liquid assets that the baby boomers, the Gen X cohorts have amassed over the years. And it's very difficult to measure the wealth that has been, sequestered within the system. And also because of COVID, you have this psychosomatic problem where people are cooped up at home, working from home. They have nothing to do. They go online, listen to property talks, and then they get into a sort of,
frenzy.
It's self-developed, it's like infected by this need to buy private residential properties. And then also they are fearful. Parents are fearful that if they don't buy something for their children, then their children will not be able to afford something. So that this is a multi-factor, demand driver.
Yeah, so, you kind of implying that broadly the impact might be not so minimal, but can you help us parse out, are there any specific property types or segments or locations that could be impacted or severely impacted?
Well, it will be, the measures don't really sort of bite the Singaporeans that much because the Singaporeans are mainly buying these are first-timers. you're buying using their children's name, so there's no ABSD. They won't affect the Americans or the Norwegians, the Swiss, because and Liechtensteinians, Icelandic people, because they're under the free trade agreement with Singapore and they are treated like Singapore citizens, there is no additional buyer stamp duty. But it may affect buyers from other parts of the world. The Indonesians, who have been traditional buyers of Singapore properties, the Chinese nationals, the PRCs, and people from Australia, United Kingdom, for example. So it does impact the higher end, the cream de la cream, those price, say, for example, $3,500 per square foot, Sing dollars or more, sort of non-landed apartments.
All right. So would you say that these measures will actually deter foreign investors in the property market? And hence, would foreign investors then be looking at other countries to invest in property?
Like Malaysia.
Yeah, I think it will parry a lot of the overseas demand into regional countries. People are looking for retirement homes, resorts. They will go, you know, Malaysia, Thailand. And those who have a longing because of perhaps the educational legacy, they may go to the United Kingdom, more like in those directions.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've been talking a lot about demand and how the government is trying to crimp demand. Let's now shift the conversation to supply, because, you know, authorities did pledge to increase supply for both public and private housing. And they plan to, I think, release some details, I think, a couple of days ago. Can you give us a sense of the scale and of the supply expansion?
Most of the lands, in the past 2 decades have been new supply. It's coming from government land sales. It was only during the 2017 and 2018 period that the supply came more from private land supply, meaning you don't really see that in Malaysia, but in Singapore, we have what we call collective sales, where residents of a apartment or condominium development band together, they get 80% approval signatures, they sell the condominium to a developer who redevelops. Now, in 2017, 2018, that swamped the supply. And so the developers then, the supply came out in the years, so progressively in the year 2019, 2020, to now, to date. Now, the fact of the matter is that the developers have sold out most of these collective sales sites, and now their balance sheet is flush with equity, returning equity and profits. They have to reinvest. But then the supply that the government is looking at is based on a fundamental demand 5 years down the road, whether there will be a warm body living in the apartment. So there's this this phase factor that they are not matching up with the developers needing to reinvest. And then the government is looking 5 years ahead and the supply is still relatively low. So what it means is the developers will have to reinvest and they will bid for government land sites in a more aggressive tone. And that will drive up land prices. So ultimately, we'll still see that asset prices, real estate, private residential prices, will continue to move up. That's why in the long run, you know, because of this system in place, the tender system, private property prices in Singapore tend to trend up rather than, it confounds economic cycles.
Alan, thanks very much for your insights this morning. That was Alan Cheong from Seville, Singapore, speaking to us about the trends in the Singapore property market and whether the cooling measures recently introduced will actually have the intended effect of lowering prices. Not really.
But he did give one reason why you should try and be an Icelandic person.
I did not know that. I did not know that certain countries are exempt from additional stamp duty.
Yeah, so I wonder if all the future CPTPP and all the other trade agreements might involve that kind of provisions as well.
Well, we shall see. I think Malaysia, you know, Malaysians would want to jump on that bandwagon if they could get those exemptions.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.